Welcome back to Bite Size Sports, and let's get right into it because it's Championship Sunday. Starting at 3 p.m. on Fox, we have the NFC Championship game as San Fran takes on Philly. Who do you have going in this one? The odds makers are keeping it tough. We got 2.5 is the difference here. Eagles are 2.5-point favorites. The over-under is set at 45.5. Money line right now, you are getting plus 132 for the Niners, whereas the Eagles are minus 156. And I say that to let you know we will be getting into the sports betting of it. We're going to look at props here later on for both games, but we will focus just on the matchups here to start. Who do we think is actually going to win this NFC Championship? And this is a head versus heart situation for me. I believe that the Eagles will win this game. However, I want the Niners to win this game. Now, that desire will not make sense to you until you hear my prediction for the AFC Championship. So before we get into that, let's analyze this game a little bit, shall we? It can't just be as simple as I think the Eagles will win, but I want the Niners to win. So here's why. Brock Purdy has played very well up until this point. I'm not expecting him to fall off a cliff today by any means. But we've gotten to a point in the playoffs where there's really no more room for anything other than stellar quarterback play to get to that next level. And I'm just going to take Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. I will say I think A.J. Brown is the big playmaker for the Eagles this week over Devontae Smith. Beating the Niners deep is what teams can do and what the Eagles will need to do. Now, if you want more in-depth analysis on that, and frankly, 2 hours worth of FanDuel lineups and prop bets, please go check out my friend Trevor's Rumbles of Red DFS podcast. I was a guest there, so we spoke for 2 hours about these two games. We will go much more in-depth on things like that, A.J. Brown versus the Niners defense matchup. So if you want more of that, if you want to dive very deeply into both of these games, I suggest that you go there and hang out with us. It's about 2 full hours, so if you do it now, you'll be done before right around kickoff. So anyway, let's move to the running game here. So Miles Sanders, a bit of an enigma. Didn't see much of him last week. We had a big Gainwell game. I don't expect a lot from Miles. I took the over for him on 50 yards, and I think I took him as an anytime touchdown scorer today, but I'm going to talk to you about the betting strategy later, so don't just throw money at that one yet. But I really think if there's going to be rushing touchdowns this week for the Eagles, it'd be very likely that Jalen Hurts has at least one of them. Here's the two ways I see the Eagles scoring touchdowns on offense: deep passes to Brown or quarterback sneaks from Hurts. So if you're looking for some bets there, look at it that way. Now, on the other side of the ball, we talked about Purdy. We've got some injury concerns over in San Fran with McCaffrey's calf. He was out touched by Elijah Mitchell last week, who also is questionable. So will we see third string running back? We talked about that again on that 2 hour show. So if you want to dive in and see who the other options could be for an emergency play, go right ahead. But I think we're going to get McCaffrey. It may only be 15 touches. That could be more than enough. What I think we're going to see, though, is more of Debo in the backfield today, because if the Niners are banged up at that position, he has proven time and time again that he is still capable of making plays out of the backfield. So I expect more Debo carries. I would look at him as probably the only wide receiver from the Niners that I'd look at playing any kind of lineup, or, you know, it depends on what kind of props you're looking at. But if you're looking for a big day from someone on the outside with San Fran, I think it's got to be Debo, because other than the handoffs, everyone in the Niners offense gets plays designed for them, but the plays that are designed for Debo are things, again, like handoffs, halfback pitches when he's in the backfield, or screens, and he's just going to get the most volume. I think this is a game that screams we need a little more Debo than usual. Also, could be a big Kittle game, but I think the Eagles will pull this one out, although, as I've mentioned, I would love to see the Niners win, not only for the Brock Purdy of it all, but because, as we go into the AFC Championship game, there is a matchup I would really like to see for specific reasons. So, the Cincinnati Bengals travel to Arrowhead Stadium. I will not be a part of any of that nonsense. And they are currently, let's see, the odds are moving all over on this one. So I took the Bengals at +1.5 on FanDuel. They are currently, as of recording, which is 1 p.m., just before 1 p.m., they are back at 2.5 on FanDuel, but then ESPN is showing that the Chiefs are 2-point favorites. So whatever your flavor there, it's all about the same to me personally. The odds have dipped a little bit. Seems that the Bengals are getting more points and you're getting less of a return for it. So I don't know. I stayed at my 1.5 because to take the 2.5 would weaken the bet even more. So whatever, we'll just roll with it. But looking at this matchup, I am concerned for the Bengals because I think they may have given the Chiefs too much bulletin board material. And if there was ever a team that should have understood how valuable that was and maybe not to provide it, I think it probably would have been these Cincinnati Bengals. They were very motivated by all of those pre-sale tickets, right? Like, that's part of what it takes to be a great athlete like that. I think, depending on what you're doing, there's a competitive nature where it can help to get in your own head a little bit to motivate yourself. We've heard stories of Shaquille O'Neal pretending that David Robinson snubbed him on an autograph when he was a kid just so he could get mentally prepared to play him harder. You know, the complete fabrication that Shaq made up and told to other people so that he could play harder. It's a thing. It's okay if you don't get it, but it's a real thing. So to have the mayor go out there and do the weird paternity test video, I really think when it's fans and stuff, everything's fair game. I doubt many athletes are paying attention to your average Twitter user. The ones that are, that's okay. You know, everybody dives in there every once in a while. But generally speaking, I don't think people talking trash on Twitter is going to get into a player's head or motivate them more. We've seen things like, for instance, Shaquille Leonard does like to go on Twitter and hate tweets, essentially. And he's had to explain that before because people have used it as rumors suggesting that he wants to be traded from the Colts. But now he has explained that he likes the negative tweets so he can go back and look at them. They motivate him. So that's a thing. And so when the mayor of Cincinnati makes a paternity test video, you've got then Chris Jones in an interview referring to his home stadium as Burrowhead Stadium. These guys are clearly paying attention, and I think that's going to motivate them even more, which isn't really a situation you need to be in. Yes, I know the Bengals have won 3 in a row. Kansas City knows that too. Andy Reid knows that too. Eric Bieniemy knows that too. And that combination with Patrick Mahomes and with those tools on offense it's one of the most creative and just gifted offensive units that exists out there, and it's going to be a big Travis Kelce day, spoiler alert, so get your bets in for that. And if you're building a FanDuel lineup or DraftKings lineup, I would say he should probably be in it. But they're going to find very creative ways to get their playmakers into space. I don't know what Mahomes' ankle looks like, but assuming that it is not looking great is another reason to push the Kelce narrative. Big time day for him to feast underneath and across the middle on some, and then think about the quick tight end screens and all of that. So these guys are going to come prepared. They're going to watch that tape. They're going to know why they've lost these last three games. And it's going to be a dogfight. Now, that being said, I am still picking the Cincinnati Bengals to win this game. And I have taken them, I mean, obviously, they're the underdog, so I'm taking them to beat the spread. I probably, before the afternoon is up, will probably throw a couple bucks on them on the money line, too. But if you're looking deeper into the lineup building of it all, to me, Burrow is the best matchup by far in your dailies today. If Chiefs are, of course, going to get to the passer a lot better than the Bills did last week, and the Bengals have some issues up front that they have to be concerned about, but on the outside, the Chiefs are not very good, and so I expect Jamar Chase to have a big day. The odds suggest that that Vegas believes that T. Higgins will have a big day, and even Boyd. So pick your spots there. I will say that Boyd is, as of Friday night, he was the most used wide receiver in any lineup, but that, a lot of that has to do with his cost at $5,300. So I don't know. He might be too user-friendly. You may have to avoid him in your lineup if you actually want to win. But there we go. I think, and that's why, as I mentioned earlier, to explain my head versus heart desire, because I am picking the Bengals to win, I would so love to see a Bengals 49ers Super Bowl. It would be phenomenal as a historian of sports, a fan of the game, growing up as a kid watching ESPN Classic and NFL films. I know way more about that Bengals Niners mini Super Bowl rivalry than someone my age should, because I wasn't there for it, but it is something that I would love. Of course, it has the nostalgia pop, and then, I mean, the marketing would be so cool. We're going to have to deal with adverts for 2 weeks about this game. It would just be really cool to me personally to have all of that to go back to look back on, and in a different way, to look at it as some interesting parallel. Don't mistake what I'm about to say here, but you know, the roles are a bit reversed in this Bengals versus Niners situation than it was back in the day. Back then, it was the Niners that had Joe Montana. And if you're not a Bengals fan, I doubt you're going to be able to name the Bengals quarterback. Look it up. Let me know in the comments. Were there two? Was it the same guy both times? You let me know. They played each other twice back in the 80s, so let me know. But, and this is what I'm getting at, is that now the Bengals have a Joe Burrow, who I'm not saying is the next Joe Montana, but, I mean, he very well could be amongst those names when it's all said and done. So it would be very poetic, in a sense, in like a George Lucas kind of sense. It's poetry and sort of that they rhyme, to have the Bengals not only get over their Super Bowl hump against the Niners, but then to have that sort of inverse of it being Joe Burrow's first Super Bowl too. And for that reason, and also because I picked the Bengals to win it all when the playoffs started, we're going to go with the Bengals today. And unfortunately, I'm picking the Eagles. If you're trying to make decisions on logic and not just my nostalgic heart, go with the Eagles. But I am hoping to see a Bengals Niners victory. So again, I want to thank you for listening. Please go check out the Rumbles of Red podcast if you want more in-depth analysis on lineup builds. We got multiple four-leg parlays in there for both games. We've got lineups for the full slate. We've got single game lineups. Check it out. Trevor does a great job over there. I am blessed to have had the opportunity to spend 2 hours with him. And if you do get over there, if you don't mind, let him know that I sent you, and he might bring me back on. So in the meantime, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.